There was a phrase bouncing around Detroit a couple of years back, still is, in fact, there is nowhere to go but up. It followed that city's newfound distinction as the biggest in this country to ever file for bankruptcy. And it doesn't exactly sound like the best climate to have launched a business in, especially a luxury goods business. But just 4 months before Detroit hit financial rock bottom in 2013, Shinola started production of its first line of watches, priced at $550 and up. They're making them right downtown. And somehow, the bet is paying off. The company has been hailed as a savior of sorts by some and criticized for its high prices and marketing by others. One thing, though, Shinola's success is a sign that American manufacturing is not dead in any way, and neither is the Motor City. Shinola now has 14 of its own stores across the country and in London over in the UK. But I met up with the company's CEO, Steve Bock, at headquarters for this installment of Corner Office.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
We so here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. Which is where, by the way? Where is here?
Well, here we are at the College for Creative Studies, which is in Midtown, Detroit. When we came here 4 years ago to Detroit, the idea was to build a factory. And there are, as you well know, many buildings here that are in terrible disarray.
Yeah.
And it really became quite apparent that you could buy any one of those buildings, but to get it fixed was going to cost a fortune.
Right.
And as luck would have it, this group that came up here came to the College for Creative Studies just to say hello to the president of the college. And the elevator door opened on the fifth floor. And this is the floor we're standing on now. And here is 60,000 square feet of pristine space with nothing in it. And so today what we have is a 60,000 square foot facility building watches, making leather goods, in an active design university. Very, very unique.
All right, 60,000 square feet is a lot of feet.
It is.
It's bigger,
not enough.
Well, it's bigger than it looks.
We started, the company started about 4 years ago. This facility opened about 3 years ago. The first year we built about 50,000 watches. This year we will build approximately 220,000 watches. And next year, probably close to 300,000 watches. We've gone from 4 people 4 years ago to a company now with 425 odd people and growing every week.
How many here in Detroit?
Just north of about 260.
Whoa.
So this is really very, very interesting. This is where we're making leather straps.
It's just watch straps, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Next year, we will produce in excess of 300,000 leather watch straps out of this facility.
That's a lot of watches.
Yeah.
Man.
This is all state-of-the-art equipment from Switzerland and Italy,
and
it's all leather from the United States.
Huh.
It's all U.S. leather.
American cows.
Yeah. Look at this. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's worth a note that the music is all Motown, by the way, that's playing.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, it's worth a note.
Isn't the atmosphere wonderful?
So all these machines are just pumping out watch straps.
Pumping out watch straps.
Wow.
We need them. We could if we had more, we could sell more.
Is she seriously painting the edge of every one of these?
Correct.
I'm really sorry to bother you. What's your name?
Myra.
Myra what?
Mosley.
What are you doing?
We actually, after they come, the pieces come from pressing, we actually paint the edges.
Wow.
Yeah. All by hand.
How many of these do you do in a day?
I can do about maybe 230 a day.
230 of these things?
Yeah. My highest is 537, though.
Is that a really good day?
Yeah, that's a really good day.
The pressure was on?
Yeah. I was actually trying to hit a goal.
How long have you been working here?
I've been hired here since May 1st.
What did you do before that?
I was at Chrysler on the line.
I can't imagine a more different setup.
Yeah, it's different, but it's better. I don't sweat here, and my back doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mosley.
Too.
I appreciate
it.
Have a nice afternoon. So you got your $10 watch that I can get at Rite Aid, and you got your $750 watch that you have on your wrist. What's the difference?
Well,
they both tell time, right?
Well, they'd certainly both tell time. You'll have to reinvest in a $10 watch probably 1,000 times over the next couple of years. What you're getting here is a watch that really has some gravitas to it. It really has a reason to exist. it will be with you for many, many years to come, if not for the rest of your life. The components that are going into this watch in our competition would dictate a much higher retail price. Hmm. So our marketing, and this is all part of this continuum of the story, our marketing does not rely on some wonderful Hollywood star or some great sports personality. So all of our pricing is based on narrow margins, the lack of an artificial retail price to cover huge marketing costs based on endorsements from specific people, and all of this feet on the ground, non-egotistical, driven concept that allows us to build a watch with a lifetime warranty that could bear a much higher price point.
So here's the Henry Ford question, who famously paid his workers $5 an hour so they could afford to buy his cars.
Right.
Can the folks over there putting together these watches afford a $750 watch?
Absolutely. When you go and speak to them, you'll see many of them have not one, but many watches. All right, we're going to have to make you look funny now.
That's all right.
So hairnets, shoe covers, and jackets.
Right.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. No Motown playing in here.
What we've done is we partnered with a company out of Switzerland, a movement manufacturing company. It's an independent company.
A watch movement manufacturer.
Correct.
Got
quite
it.
Right.
Okay.
And, of course, movement is what makes the watch work. It's the heartbeat of the watch. And in this partnership, they have provided us with the equipment, all of the Swiss technology, the training. So what we have is trainers coming over here, the equipment that you see in front of you, and all of our staff today is trained on the most current Swiss techniques of building a watch. And there are people working here who came from the automobile industry, pizza delivery, policemen, patrol people, you name it, every walk of life, building professions, creating jobs for themselves, and really contributing to this family of everybody here at Shinola in a very big way.
I read a piece about you guys and what you're trying to do, and I guess it was you who was quoted, who said, you know, we're trying to build a lifestyle company.
Right.
What does that mean?
Right. This is a design-driven company. So all the products need to fall under the umbrella of design. So the consistency. And, of course, you know that Shinola comes from a shoe polish company, right?
I do. My mother, who's listening to this, would, when I was a kid, she would say, oh, that person doesn't know
from Shinola.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure there's going to be a bleep
We'll take care of that, yeah.
The concept is bring back as much of the capability of manufacturing back into the United States. So the idea of building watches in the United States, something that went away basically 40, 50 years ago, bring that capability back. But if you can do that, why not do small leather goods? Why not do bicycles? Why not do journals? We have Shinola Cola. We have to get you some Shinola Cola.
Shinola Cola, seriously?
Absolutely, absolutely. Wow. Now, we can't go into competition with Coca-Cola and Pepsi at this point, at least. But why not have that?
Oh, and here's the assembly line, right?
Yep. Say hello to Olivier.
Hello.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, Kai Rizdal. How are you?
Hi.
Thanks for taking the time.
All of this, which is the heartbeat of everything that we do, comes under Olivier's jurisdiction, and he's a gentleman. Pulled this all together in a very successful way.
So, first of all, tell me what this is. Where are we here?
Here we are in the pre-production area where we, once we receive all the material, it comes here and we do an incoming quality check. 100% of the dials are checked. So they prepare everything, they load everything in the trays that will go in production. We don't want any dust, any paper, any cardboard in there. As you see, we use a vacuum air, compressed air, to get rid of all the dust before it moves in the clean room.
This is a really stupid question. You need a clean room to make watches?
It is such a problem. Automatic. A speck of dust or a tiny shaving, metallic shaving. It could be, you know, microscopic. Because we have a little magnet in there and gears that are so small, a tiny bit of metal could get stuck on the little magnet, the rotor, and block the gears. And you have a dead movement. Yeah. So what you see here on the left? Movement assembly, all the green tables there. So this area is movement assembly. The other side is watches. We have more than 30 people now on the movement line. And we're building more than 6,000 movements a week now.
Wow, that's cool. May I ask you your name, please?
Sarah.
Sarah what?
Sarah Shoemate.
When's a good time for me to ask you a question?
You can ask me at any time.
Can I really?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, how are you doing this teeny tiny work without a magnifying glass?
Well, we're trying to know what to look for and how to properly pick it up.
Can you tell me what you're doing?
Yes, I'm actually assembling the calendar portion of it. Each of these pieces,
and there's a movement. Yeah, there's a tray of what, like 18?
Well, 12, this is actually 11 pieces, 11. Including the calendar.
And you're putting them all together?
Mm-hmm. I'm putting them all together.
So how many of these calendar things do you do in a day?
In a day, well, let's see. In an hour,
is that how we
maybe
figured out
do. In an hour, I maybe do 60.
Wow, that's bananas. Do you know what each of those little things is?
Yes.
They're little gears and
yes, these are the
sprockets
wheels.
And
mm-hmm. These are the gears. This is the minute setting, hour, and then this is...
Which looks for all the world like the world's tiniest staple.
This is the hardest part to me.
Yeah, because it's like a human hair, and it's just tiny, tiny, tiny.
I just stick this right through here.
No way. Look at that. I can't see any of this. I don't know how you're seeing this.
But then I click that right into place.
And oh, I heard it. I heard it click.
You see
Did you hear
that?
It click? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that jumper is right there. And what happens is every time the wheels engage the calendar to jump to the next movement,
yeah.
That is the job of this little guy here. It
wow.
just makes it click back.
That is bananas. All right, I'm going to ask this question because the big boss told me I could ask this question.
That's fine.
Do you own a Shinola watch?
I do.
God. How many?
Two.
Get out of here. That was a setup. That was totally a setup. Are you kidding
Not
me?
Not at all. No setup.
Two.
Oh, man. Thank you very much, Sarah. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
That
Thank
was a
you.
Total setup. Thanks.
Get out of here. If these guys have too much coffee in the morning, they get all jittery, they probably
yes.
can't come to work, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
You have to be very steady. When you see, sometimes
yeah.
the pieces go in such a tiny hole,
if you're
shaking,
yeah.
you won't be able
yeah.
to go straight in.
You have to like a really quiet work environment to work yep. in this room, right?
Yep.
So here we've got the casing operation. Very important, dust. You see we've got vacuum brushes, we've
yeah.
got air, little bellows, there we can blow air. We don't want to trap any dust, anything inside. So
wow.
you have to make sure there's no, you know, fingerprints, no smudges, no nothing. Everybody wears finger cuts
yeah.
or gloves to make sure we don't leave fingerprints. So we put the case, the fit-ups in the cases, push the stems in that secures the whole movement inside.
Wow.
So by the end of this line, we have complete watch heads. And we let them tick for 24 hours.
Right, and so you check them
now,
all.
They're all set at the right time. They're all ticking.
Huh.
And when we're good, when the full order is complete and everything passed, we move them to the other
Shift
side for strapping.
Straps, yeah.
Putting the straps on.
Yep, thanks, Olivier.
Wow. So here's the marketing and PR question about Detroit, right? I understand what you're trying to do in bringing back part of this city. I mean, no one company can do it all. How much, though, of what you are doing with Detroit is really just PR and marketing?
Well, let's put things very much in perspective.
Okay.
All right. So we're a tiny little piece of the puzzle.
Right.
We're not, I would argue that we're not helping Detroit. Detroit is helping Shinola. It's absolutely the reversal. It is the pride that we have in being here, the pride of the people that are working for us, that they show in their dedication, their drive, the quality of their work, it's that combination that has made us successful. Now, of course, we're babies. This is really
yeah.
early days, right, in the evolution of this company. But it's that base that's been so important. But it's Detroit that has helped Shinola, not the other way around.
Thanks for listening to this month's Corner Office. Radio is, of course, not an inherently visual medium, and Shinola is a place you are going to want to see, trust me. So, we've got a video and some pictures on our website, marketplace.org. We'll talk to you next time. This is APM.